Okay, here's our moment right here. We get to find out exactly what in the hell just happened in the city of Chicago.
We promoted it as you get scared a week before Halloween when you look at the city budget, but it didn't seem as scary as I thought today. It seemed like there were some reasonable things, and I guess it's just the devil's in the details now trying to sort through it all.
Alderman Brendan Riley is with us. He is the president pro tem of the city council. That's a very, very, very impressive sounding title. So we did learn something very cool today. Well, good, I would say. That there is a bit of a TIF overrun or something. We got a little more TIF money than we thought we were going to get.
Largest in Chicago history.
Yeah, it's a massive surplusing of TIFs. I think in the mayor's budget remarks, she actually undercut the amount by quite a bit.
Oh.
And it actually means more of a windfall to the Chicago public schools.
So the TIF money is, so these tax increment
Finance districts.
So, in other words, you give tax breaks to developers to build in these places, right?
More or less. I mean, really, what you do is you capture all the tax increment, all the tax revenue that's generated by these new construction, these new properties, and you hold it within the boundaries of this district that is drawn. The idea meaning that tax increment that would otherwise go to the public schools or the city is used to fund infrastructure projects that serve that boundary. And in blighted areas, which is what TIF is really intended to serve, it's a really powerful economic development tool. The problem that Chicago has is we've got 150-plus TIF districts. We've TIFed almost the entire city, which is diverting tremendous amounts, billions of dollars in tax increment away from the schools and from the city, which puts a lot more pressure on the property tax for residents.
But that pays for other stuff, though.
It does. It pays, right. It pays for a lot of infrastructure.
So
but, you know,
paving,
over the years,
we're putting a sewer in somewhere.
Or, you know, in past administrations, it meant having money to build an ally in the city council,
right.
A community center, or a
easy,
park facility.
What the, what, hey!
Well, that's been the concern. The mayor has
pork.
Such control over these TIF funds that they weren't, and there was such a lack of transparency around them that led to some abuses, I'm going to say, and this is what this mayor pledges to not do about that. I know that the teachers are making the argument that the TIF money is being given to Lincoln Yards, and it's not like there's a pile of money sitting around that they divert over there. This is money that, as they build up those residential houses, that property tax money then goes
That's right.
to that district to help with the building of those bridges and the street repavement and the resurfacing and the toxic waste site that it is right now. They're going to get in the environmental and dig it up and that kind of thing. They're going to create that money by building those houses, and then that money eventually goes to it. There's just an issue there with the way that gets tossed around.
That was a perfect explanation of how it works. Basically, the money comes towards the end of the project being delivered. That's when the real estate value's been established, and that's when the most increment is generated. So you're absolutely right. There isn't hidden TIF money sitting in the corner. You need the development to be successful first.
Okay.
Now, I think the Lincoln Yards TIF was way overly generous, and that's why I voted against it.
Yeah.
Okay. Without getting too caught in that.
Sure.
So we have some of that. We have
substantial amount of money being
right.
released back to those taxing bodies.
Okay. Yeah. So now what's going to happen here at the end of, let's say, this strike with the teachers? I mean, do you have a sense of what that bill is really going to look like?
No, I don't, because I'm not a party to the closed door negotiations going on between the administration and the teachers union.
And that comes right out of the property taxes, right? Isn't that the statutory reality there?
Yes, it does. I mean, that's essentially what is funding CPS. What we don't get from the state, we're getting from the property tax there. Half your property tax bill, if you live in the city of Chicago, goes to the Chicago public schools today.
So if they add another billion, couple billion dollars, whatever this is going to be, because those are the numbers. Everything is with a B.
Yeah.
I hate it when it's with a B.
Yeah.
It's being floated.
A lot of zeros.
Yeah. We're going to see that in our next property tax bill, potentially, or two away?
Yeah, you'd see it probably at least in two bills. But I think it's important to remember CPS budgets separate and distinctly from the city of Chicago. And so people assume aldermen are part of the negotiations and in on all the back and forth.
The
mayor's
the only person that's involved.
It's the mayor and her bargaining team, and that's
right.
it. And, and it's probably a good thing to keep aldermen out of the bargaining room.
You think?
Yeah, I know. But as a result of that because all these things are pretty fast moving, we're not in on the joke the whole way through. We have to depend on, you know, routine updates.
So the budget relies on $500 million in savings, $350 in new revenue. I think we should talk about both those things, because there's some new revenue that's going to affect people in their daily lives. And then the savings overall, you say you're in agreement with this because it's taking some of those positions that are not filled right now and saying, okay, we're going to eliminate those. Doesn't hurt that many people when you start from that point.
I think that the mayor and her budget team have applied some really sound budgeting principles that I haven't seen my 12 years as alderman. And when it comes to the cost savings and efficiencies, it's worth noting that in her budget balancing exercise, 64% of that occurs on the spending side of the ledger, which is, I think, unprecedented, at least since I've been here.
Wait, who sent her? What's going on there? Where are we getting the cuts? So
for years, we've been carrying over thousands of funded vacancies in our city bureaucracy, and we're eliminating a lot of those funded vacancies, which is good.
Where was that money going?
It was going to the departments, kind of being held as if, you know, in the event they happen to fill these vacancies. In fairness to the departments, it takes a while to fill a vacancy. But in some cases, these have gone unfilled for a long time. We need to take that money back, put that into the general fund, and not have these being accounted to departments. And so a significant savings is occurring there. That's good budgeting. They also employed the practice of zero-based budgeting, where you literally start from zero in departments and divisions at the city. That way, you're not just tinkering in the margins by a few percentage points here or there. It forces you to kind of take a holistic review of how the department operates. What does this guy do?
Like business does with a P&L sheet.
Absolutely. And that, you know, Mayor Emanuel started doing it with commodities, which is great. But Mayor Lightfoot has expanded that. We still have a long way to go on zero-based budgeting. But she's doing it more than any of her predecessors have before.
So, because I think as taxpayers, and especially people who may not understand a lot about looking at a spreadsheet, like myself, I would just feel like we're getting hocus-pocused, right? I feel like there is a lot of waste, there is mismanagement, and there's covering of those items in the budget.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's how governmental entities do budgeting. They always try and pad that departmental budget so they have flexibility, which when times are good and government is flush, maybe you can get away with a little bit of that. But that's been standard operating procedure in the city of Chicago since the city of Chicago has existed, and that's not good accounting. So I think it's really smart that the mayor is wiping that stuff out. In the future, if a department wants to add positions, justify the addition of those positions to the city council, and maybe we'll budget for that. Another big piece is refinancing our debt. We have super competitive rates right now, and we can automatically...
Every other commercial on this station is telling me that, so I know.
Take advantage of those low interest rates.
Well, it applies to government, too. Yeah. And so it's a... You know,
we're gonna get Team Hochberg on this. We're gonna refinance this whole damn thing.
You know, with the $200 million we're going to get from the refinancing of debt, that's a one-time hit, right? We can't refinance our debt and get $200 million every year.
Haven't we been doing that? Hasn't that been a little bit of the kicking of this can?
No, that's a scoop and toss, and that is different. This really is it's literally like refinancing your mortgage. You're going and you're grabbing a better rate. Mayor,
does Lori Lightfoot have to go to a closing in which he had to pay? Now what you're signing
I want her to look at my budget and see if she can find $300 million extra bucks. Just look around. Just see. I don't know.
But look, again, though, in fairness, that's a one-time fix, and we're going to have to replace that revenue next year. The hope is it buys us some time with the legislature to try and get some improvements to the casino bill, perhaps down the road to the cannabis bill, to improve the city's revenue opportunities.
It sounds to me like this actually turned out to be a much better experience than we thought it was going to be.
I was worried.
I was looking to, you know, pull my parachute out, jumping off the cliff.
Because there's no property tax increases at this time today, reliant upon what Springfield does.
And that's a gigantic if. Mm-hmm. You know, this is an election year. We've got a lot of hot primaries coming up right around the corner. And to go down to Springfield in the fall veto session and ask for lots of relief for Chicago, that's a tall ask.
Yeah.
I'm certainly going to help and do my best to assist the mayor with that. Mm-hmm. But if you're a betting person, not great odds. Session, maybe after the primaries.
Right. Because you also have some of those folks that are getting primaried downstate.
Yeah.
That are part of the...
Who's more conservative?
Leave Illinois.
Yeah.
You know, those, or toss Chicago out or whatever that movement is. And I invite them to do it.
Yeah.
I invite them to say, I would like them to do it, because then, you know, it'll, North Illinois and South Illinois or whatever. I want to change the name. I never liked the name Illinois anyway. So, I got some ideas about renaming our part of the state.
You could do a listener survey.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to keep Cook and the collar counties, and then they can have all the rest. They can have Effingham.
I'm cool.
They can F themselves in Effingham, as far as I'm concerned.
East St. Louis is all theirs.
Yeah. And go ahead. Enjoy your poop kicker state. It will now be 51st behind Mississippi. So congratulations. But I really don't think that there's going to be enough good rhythm coming from Springfield here.
No.
You do need, here's the one thing, two things that Chicago needs, right? You need, as you mentioned, the casino. You need to change the casino rules here.
Right.
Or
the
casino.
The tax structure, really.
Yeah. And then you do need, and the cannabis piece is weird. It's still weird. I think we find ourselves having passed a law that had a law which was a line. Hmm. And there was pages and pages and pages and pages of rules for that law that were never written. And now they're trying to come up with it, as opposed to using a template from another state that's done this fairly successfully. And Colorado is not perfect.
No.
Colorado's had a lot of problems.
Sure.
But you can learn from what Colorado's problems were. I can't believe that there weren't lobbyists that had already formulated that for them.
You know, on the cannabis law, people are saying it has all the potential to be the national template for future legalization. The problem, and you're absolutely correct about the rules, is with a lot of the really complex legislation that comes out of Springfield, there's a whole separate rulemaking process that occurs after the law is passed and signed. And it's been really slow coming from Springfield. The Joint Committee on Rules are the folks that vote on all the detailed stuff on how the law really works. We're still waiting for that guidance. And so there's been a lot of dialogue between the city and the state. Hey, guys, hurry up. Everyone, including the industry, needs to know what the rules of the road are here, because we're legal in a couple months.
Jeez.
I don't think folks really expected a comprehensive law like this to pass back in May. It did. And then suddenly the bureaucracy had to hurry up and really zip through this stuff, which is complex. So, yeah, they're a little behind schedule with the rules.
We got to get to the new the fee hikes,
yes,
and the
sorry.
Taxes.
Yeah,
do you want to break first?
Because
there's some things here. You are definitely impacted by you just look at the list. You're not going to be happy.
Alderman, tie the alderman up.
It's not my budget.
Lock the door. Lauren, what's happening on the roadways? Okay, Alderman. I'm going to take his gag off now so he can actually speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
Alderman Brendan Riley is here. The city has announced some new revenue enhancements to their budget.
Proposed.
This will be voted on by the new city council.
Because you just got the 450-page document dropped on YouTube.
Hot off the presses this afternoon.
Have some fun this weekend.
I wonder how many of those communists that we elected back in back in April are going to be out there going, I love the idea of this. All right. We got new parking meter rates, potentially.
Right.
And that's going to go up how big?
Actually, I haven't gotten the details on that program, but the idea is to significantly increase the parking meter rates in the Central Business District.
Okay.
Most of which are already 24/7 parking meters.
Yeah.
It doesn't raise a tremendous amount of revenue, but that's one of the components of the budget that irks me a bit. Downtown has carried the disproportionate burden on the parking meter deal. We have the highest rates. They're in effect throughout the night. Meanwhile, surrounding wards, where we're seeing a lot of development, a lot of new density, have no parking meter spaces. It's all you can eat, pig out buffet parking for free.
We got to end that. We got to be there.
More free rides.
If the idea here is it's good transportation policy, and that's what this is really about, is turning over parking meter spaces, then it's good enough for downtown. It's good for the surrounding wards as well.
I thought it was congestion also. Wasn't that one of her issues mentioned in the budget?
Yes,
address.
Yeah, it does go towards that because, you know, if it's expensive to park, the idea is you'll find another way to get here. But I just think it's wrong.
But you're hitting on both sides, though, because then the ride share is going up, too.
Potentially, or you're going to take public transit. Or get one of those fancy e-scooters.
I don't want an e-scooter.
Well, they're not allowed east of Halsted yet.
No, thank God.
And we're just kind of reviewing that whole program. We don't know if we're really going to have it next year yet.
We may not.
And the increased real estate transfer tax?
Yeah, so that would require the state of Illinois, the legislature, to authorize us to raise those taxes.
Okay.
So that would be taken up in the fall veto session in Springfield. I'm not so sure that's going to get approved, and so we may have to find a way to replace that $50 million or so revenue hole.
And I know I'm going to hear immediately, my personal cell phone's going to ring off the hook with restaurateurs, mm-hmm. who are also, they would like me to pay the bill that I walked out on this week, that there is going to be an increase in the restaurant tax.
Yes. Currently the city has a special restaurant tax at 0.25%. The mayor is proposing raising that to 0.50%. So a doubling of that city tax, but at the end of the day, it would amount to an extra 25 cents tacked onto your $100 restaurant.
But we already have a 10.25% Chicago tax. So then you add that 0.5. You're almost at 11% every time you go to a restaurant just with the city's taxes.
Well, and
then you got the 1% McPeer thing,
which you have downtown.
Downtown district.
Which is in my entire ward. So my concern about this, and I want to look at the revenue generated by this piece of her tax proposal, is that it also pushes the city of Chicago into the number one slot for the highest sales taxes. Mm-hmm. And that can become a competitive issue when it comes to luring conventions and tourism to Chicago. So that's a concern. I want to understand the trade-off. Is the revenue worth earning that distinction on the national stage? I'm not convinced that it is, and that will be one of the things we push back on.
Hmm.
All right. I don't know how I feel about this, but I know that I feel Grant DePorter calling me right now.
Oh, yeah. Sure
he cares. He's calling you too right now.
I'm sure I probably have a voicemail already.
Yes. My sense is that if there's anybody that we're all going to hear from about this, yeah. it's going to be with the Restaurant Association.
Well,
too.
Ro, I've got 1,400 restaurants in my ward, so I'm expecting a lot of phone calls.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It's a good time to be on vacation,
you.
Alderman.
I wish.
All right. Alderman Brendan Riley, thank you so much.
He is the President Pro Tem
of the City Council. He's our private alderman. Thank you very much. Appreciate you being with us. We've got the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom cooking. Kim's got the news with you in 2 minutes.